Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
And I've just got my very first Christmas present of the Christmas season. Sean Masher Dodd has brought it in for me. Tony Dodson, I'm waiting for yours. Maybe a few weeks away. But Masher's given me a mug.
He's eager.
It's a flask. It's called the Mighty Mug. And it won't fall over. Will it? No, it's like I would just bang it. It just won't fall over.
It's got a suction device on the bottom to stop it from...
It's the fault, isn't it, Steve?
I don't know whether to take that as an insult, though, because it's like, what, does he think I just knock everything over all the time? Am I clumsy?
No. Like just, you know, so you can have it by all the
I don't think it's a nice... I think it's a dig at you.
You would, wouldn't you?
I think that's brilliant.
Well, I've got brilliant, though,
a mug that you can't knock over.
Yeah, it's class.
I'm impressed with that. I'll be getting Tony something special, anyway.
My girls, Jasmine and Jira, will find a way to knock this over.
Probably.
Within a week, I'll come back to you and tell you how you do it.
Don't.
Thank you very much.
My kids are like the Legion of Doom. They just find a way, always.
Destruction. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet, Tony?
Yes, well started, mate.
Have you?
I hate it. Bah humbug. Hate it.
You have started it, though, have you?
Started it ages ago. So it doesn't end.
Christmas cards?
Doesn't end. No, not Christmas cards.
No, just the shopping.
Seriously, cost you a fortune. Pathetic. Right. It's all it is a money scam. Bah humbug.
It's not a money scam. It's a lovely time of year, isn't it, Masher?
Yeah. Wonderful. As long as your kid's being good. Like, I went to school yesterday and our baby was playing up and I was like, that's it, he's getting on. He's not getting his lucky scooters. He's not getting this. Yeah.
Yeah, nightmare. Yeah,
right. So. Just quickly before we get on to the boxing. So yesterday you got fully clothed in a firefighter's outfit and jumped into the Albert Dock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Albert Dock jumped out.
I'm actually slim, Mash. I've lost weight.
No, show him that photo.
I'll show you. I've got a picture. So you put the full gear on. We have to wear a dry suit, which is like a wetsuit, but it's heavier. It's got all the equipment on it. Then a flotation device over that, which is quite big. It's not a life vest. It's a flotation device. It's specially made for the fire service. A helmet and these docker boots. And I mean, they're like big steelies. So
the idea is you're trying to join the fire service at the moment.
No, I've got through to the final stage. Yeah. I'm in the final interview on the 28th of this month. So fingers crossed, I'll be by February. I'll be a full time firefighter as well as a fighter. So, fighting firemen.
Yeah, but you're only working behind on a desk, though, aren't you?
No. Yeah. I'll be out there.
He's only working on a desk.
Just try and be nice to him.
How far
did you have to swim in the outfit?
It's the equivalent of two lengths in the pool. So
it's a long way.
It's quite with all the equipment on as well. It wasn't too hard. I'm quite fit anyway, so it wasn't too hard. It was just basically the last 25 meters coming back. It was when you have to turn in the water with all that gear on and then keep going. It's tough, but your hands are just go deal blue, and your face is freezing cold. We got a picture. I got a picture with the team because there was seven of us, and we had to wear the helmet. And the helmet was pushing my chin up. It looks like I've got like 10 chins, like
brilliant.
I'm a big fatty.
It does look
so
like
I let Masher see it before. I let Masher see it before. He went, look, you look like a minion. You really are.
Yeah, he's a minion.
I can't even put it up on my social media because I look that bad.
He looks like a minion.
It's his new nickname, isn't it? The minion. Did everyone manage to do it?
Well, we're not allowed to watch.
All right.
Because we separately go away and go to where it needs to be done. And
that's how tough it probably is.
Because of pressure, peer pressure, people watching you, and that you think, I'm not bothered. I've had 10,000 people shouting, who the hell are you, in a ring. That doesn't bother me.
It sounds like George Groves. Carl Froch.
Feel under pressure by, you know, people. Well, I wouldn't like it, to be fair, especially in them circumstances.
Well, good luck to all your fellow competitors. Yeah. They are competitors. Maybe you can all get through.
This is how it is. We got 2,900 people applied for the fire service job. I'm down to the last 50.
Yeah.
So it's an achievement.
Fingers crossed for you.
Yeah, good luck, Tom. Well done.
I think you got a better day for the weather yesterday than today, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Do you know what? To be fair, though, as I say, the stuff you wear is fine. It's just your hands and your face that get cold.
Are you going to have a go at this?
No. It's a job in itself, the fire service. It's and it's dangerous as well, isn't it? So I'm living a dangerous life as it is now, so I don't want to live another danger one.
I've just done a show there of situations that when people go to work, they nearly die, and people ringing up and, you know, saying, like, I fell through a skylight onto a cooker, blah, 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 and really, every time we even enter the gym, we put our life on the line.
Yeah.
That's just an everyday occurrence.
But Dave was probably doing that laughing at people, wasn't he, as they rang up?
No, he weren't, like, it was bad that the guy fell through a pilot in the sky, and the glass cutter went through him, cut him to shreds. But he was more bothered that he fell into a cooker and the cooker went on.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
He didn't have insurance.
No, they were talking about when you go to work, when you're at work, times when you could have died. Mm. And I think he was a painter, and he was on a roof, and he fell through the pilot in the roof onto the cooker. He was more bothered about.
I'm just going to just be an ice cream man when I get older.
Yeah, easy job.
Just selling candy floss or something.
Right, let's talk a little bit of boxing.
Wait, Dave, before we talk, can we just say hello to me barber, Charlie, who's listening in on the app?
You've got a barber?
Morning, Charlie. Well, he's my mate. I went to...
You've got no hair.
No, I've got bits of hair. And the longer I let it grow, the more...
He gives his nose hair to show back inside.
Look, the more I need it cut, the more I look baldy when I don't get a cut. It's weird. Right, so yeah. I keep it nice and short. So hello to Charlie in Garston Village in Knockout Barbers. Uppercut Barbers.
That's a good one, isn't it? Uppercut, yeah.
Uppercut Barbers.
I hope he doesn't charge you much for that.
No, I don't get no freebies, even though we're mates since creche.
Right, okay. Last weekend, of course, we watched Liam Smith. That was last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, last week. Last weekend.
Yeah, we previewed it last week.
Thought he'd brilliant.
Boxed in a different way. Sorry, what's going on with
that?
No? Sure. Oh, yeah. Right.
Your
mate,
yeah, family.
Stacey says there's another uppercuts barbers about as well.
He is, yeah.
Liam Smith, what's your... your view of how he fought against Liam Williams?
I thought he learned from the first fight, knew he couldn't start off as slowly. I thought he controlled the fight perfectly. I thought he used his jab excellent. I thought he just didn't allow Liam Williams to get into his rhythm and get into his stride. He knew in the first fight, I don't know whether he underestimated him. I don't think he expected Liam Williams to give such a gallant performance in the first fight. And he made sure this time, physically, mentally, he was on a different level to Williams, and it showed. It was a really good fight.
First time round, Liam Williams stepped up to the plate, didn't he? And he went at it and sort of caught Liam Smith a little bit cold and unexpected. But second time round, you'd always expect you always think a rematch is going to be
better fight.
They're going to go at it again. And if they do both go out again, then neither of them have learned or they've been intelligent about the fight.
It's hard, do you think?
And this time round, Liam Smith showed his experience and his level. And he boxed in an intelligent fight.
Do you think
and he thought about the next level.
Do you think because he was coming off the Canelo fight that he underestimated him a little bit? Not underestimated him as a fighter, but thought, I'm above this level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I deserve to be on a higher stage. You know, whether this is going to be a walk in the park. Maybe not along them lines. Maybe he didn't say that to himself because I know he takes every fight seriously, but maybe he just let himself
drop
a little bit.
If you say something in your mind.
Oh, here we go. Here's the secret.
No, it happens. Well, I went out on Sunday and I went, right, I have a few drinks. And if you say something, you end up doing it. So when you do, so when you say it in your mind, he's probably said in his mind that this isn't the level and blah. And then when the fights come, it's been what he's fought. Oh, stop it, Tom.
He's finally cracked you there, hasn't he?
There,
right,
yeah.
This might be slightly controversial, but I didn't think it was that clear cut. I got to the end of the fight. I thought by the last round.
No, I had them by about four rounds.
Did you?
Rounds were close.
See, that's what I'm saying.
But he was just nipping around.
Did you see, just hang on, when the guys were commentating on it, they gave a completely different version to the guy ringside, or I can't remember who it was now, on the BT coverage, a former boxer who went...
I don't listen to... No, what?
No, but he said, oh, I didn't watch the same fight as those two who was just commentating on it. And I was at home thinking, well, I didn't. I thought Liam Williams was actually quite close to it.
No.
Yeah, well, I missed the first four rounds, to be honest.
Look.
Gutted.
Do you know when them commentators talk, you've got to remember they work for Box Nation, they want to keep the job. And all I hear is, that might as well, because none of what they're saying.
So did you think Liam Smith was a clear winner?
I thought he'd be a clear winner. I don't even think it was that close. I think he won it by three, four rounds. I mean, even the rounds that were close, you couldn't really give it to one or the other, but the rounds that William dominated and got his jab off better, was busier, body shot in, round of sides, he was winning the rounds clear, whereas the rounds that were close, you couldn't pick either, so how could you give it to Williams, you know what I mean? So obviously them judges at ringside gave a couple of them rounds to Williams, and...
Well, they should have been shared.
Yeah, it should have been a 10-10.
And then Smith winning a clear round.
Yeah, and obviously...
I think Liam won it, but I just thought it was a very fine margin as opposed to a couple
of
scorecards.
What were the scorecards? Because
I think one of them was quite wide, wasn't it?
I'd say 4 rounds.
That's just the norm nowadays, isn't it? I don't know where these judges... Maybe it's just the angle that they're sitting.
Did you see them fighters on the weekend when Anthony boxed the judges? I'm surprised they can see
So Anthony is Tony's son, by the way. Just for anyone who doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's my son boxed, and some of the officials now in the amateur scene were judges that were there when I was there. I'm 37. You know, these judges are like near enough retirement, well past retirement age. Got bad eyesight and they left to judge these kids' lives.
See me to you now.
Sorry, how old are you talking about?
He must be Gordon Thompson. He's a ref and a judge. He must be late 70s.
Right.
He must be. He's got to be.
But Gordon looks one of the fittest out of them all.
Yeah, exactly. So that's saying something.
Well, Tony, Roy Hodgson's managing Palace. He's 71.
He doesn't have to.
Gordon
like,
Brown was
score
70.
Shots
he was,
getting
he was,
through in
Gordon
ring.
Brown was our prime minister. He was about 70.
Oh, well, totally different.
People can do it. At
and
least
look what happened
July.
To the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look what happened.
So I had Stephen Smith on yesterday because he's going to fight in Vegas.
Wow!
What an achievement.
9th of December.
That's and there
was
the
this, there was this common assumption that he was the first Scouser to ever fight in Vegas, but he isn't. Just John Conte fought in Vegas.
Did he,
And then a few other people tweeted me yesterday and said, oh, my uncle fought in Vegas, and here's his name, and I checked it on BoxRec. And there's quite a few Scousers who have fought in Vegas. But
this is for the world title.
God, do that
it's not, no, this isn't. No, this is an eliminator. But it's still at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, isn't it? It's the stuff
pinnacle.
Dreams are made of.
It's the pinnacle. I think he deserves it because he's an absolute gentleman.
Who's he fighting?
Francisco Vargas.
Right.
You thought you caught me out there.
What's his record? Get up on
Vargas.
I've never seen him fight.
I've heard the name, but mind you.
You know what? It's mad, even though I'm a fighter and I love boxing, and I'm not one of them that will watch every fight every week, and I don't keep track with what's going on.
I try to.
Yeah, but I've been fighting since I was six. It's a long, long time, and I'm absolutely sick and tired of it. So
it is a long, long
time. I get in the gym and do what I have to do when I come home. It's a job.
I wouldn't get up at five in the morning to watch a Las Vegas show. I'd have to tape it.
The only fighters that I've ever got up and watched is Mike Tyson.
Is there
Holyfield?
Right, slightly going off track here. Rossi, who does Radio City 2 Breakfast, turned 50. Turned or has or will turn 50.
Rossi,
and his producer was saying to me, is there something that you've never done in life that you should have done in life? He was trying to find something for Rossi that he should have done. Is there something you've never done in life that you should have done?
One of the things in the fire service here, you get asked questions in the interview is, what in life do you regret? And me, I regret not taking a scholarship in the States when I was 16. When I won the Junior Olympics, the chairman of the USA Boxing said, listen, we want you with us here. We'll pay for you to come here, stay here. You'll have to have a scholarship in boxing. Mm. But when you have a scholarship, you've got to take like five other subjects and you have to master all of them before you can get your scholarship for boxing, you get me? Which is really good because it's giving you like something to focus on rather than just your boxing. Because if you don't focus on everything else, you're not going to get your scholarship for fighting. Do you know what I mean?
So you could have turned out...
I could have took it and gone, but I was 16, I was a kid.
Could have turned out to be a clever boxer, not just a boxer. Mm. For you, Sean?
I'll be totally honest.
Nothing, just the secret.
No regrets. No regrets. Because it just... Everything that I could say I regret, is not. That's what's going to make me the person I'm going to be tomorrow.
There you go.
So
good mindset.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally doesn't understand.
Like I regret seeing my granddad, you know, spending time with them. But them, they I can learn from that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to beat myself down with
this is
regret.
The book talking.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.